You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Today I want to share a message with you that I feel like God placed on my heart a while back, and I wasn't sure exactly how or when I was going to share it. I didn't know if I would be using it for Easter or using it for another time, but I feel like it's appropriate for today. And last week we talked about transition, and we said that God often brings us to a place of transition, and the reason we talked about that last week is because we were in transition. It was our last week at the Skate Center, and this was our first week coming in here, and so we talked about transition. Now this week, I want to talk to you about the word transformation, because that's a little bit different. They both start with T, but they're very, very different words, and one of them is more uncomfortable than the other. And so today I want to share with you about that. And part of the reason I want to share that with you today also is because of the transformation in this place. You know, for those of you that don't know, this used to be a bar. Some of you do know. Some of you used to come here. So, I mean, you know this place. It looks a little bit different probably than whenever you came here. But this used to be a bar. And not only was it a bar, it was beat up. I mean, like, really beat up. When we first came in here, I remember the first time I was able to bring some folks over here and look this place over. We said, can we just look at this and see if there's a possibility that this could become a church home for us? And I remember people looking at it and just going, I don't know. You know, I mean, this was a nasty place. It was a nasty place. We had stuff coming up out of the floor. Matter of fact, it was right back there. It was this pipe that came up out of the floor. And one of the first times we were in here, my son grabbed it and turned it over. And when he did, green liquid just started pouring out of it, you know. There was a big painting on the wall over here. There were places in our walls that had big holes in them. And then just someone took black tape and taped it over the holes and then painted over it, right? Like, that's how they fixed walls, apparently. And there was a lot of tape in this place fixing things. So this place had really just been beat up and beat down and kind of just left alone until we were able to come in. And the cool thing was is we were able to come in here with a team of people and really transform this place. I mean, we came in here and we started building and tearing things out and doing things in here. And look, it took a long time. It took us 3 weeks and we're still not done. It's going to be a process. Well, it'll take us a whole summer probably to get this place the way we really want it. But it took us 3 weeks of working hard, sometimes 12 hours a day. Some of us at work, other jobs were coming in before and after work. I know some of our railroad guys had the craziest schedules. They would go into work and all of a sudden they would pop in and say, I'm here to work. And then they would work for about an hour and say, I got to go back. And then they'd run back home. And so it's been a crazy 3 weeks, a whirlwind. But a couple of things. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of time. And it took a lot of teamwork to get it together. It also took one other thing that's very important is it took vision. It took somebody being able to look at this place and look past all the holes, look past all the paintings, and look past all the ugly green floor that was in here and say, I can see something beyond all that. I can see something different. And part of that was me, and part of that was some of other parts of our team that said, we can look past the ugly. We can look past the broken. We can look past the tape on the walls, and we can find something that God can use and that people can enjoy. And so today, with that understanding, I want to talk to you about your life and my life. Because I feel like sometimes our lives are a lot like this box. Our lives are a lot like this place. That we've been beat up. We've been broken. We've had holes punched in us. We've just been taped over. Right? We've been patched up, but at the end of the day, we're still not fixed. We may look good sometimes on the outside. It may look like our walls have been finished, but in reality, it's just duct tape and paint. Just holding us together. This has nothing to do with the message, but it just came to my mind. For those of you that are new here, you'll understand that I'm a very ADD preacher. And whatever hits my brain usually comes out of my mouth. I have very little filter, and it gets me in trouble often with my wife. But the other day, Perry and I were driving along, and this car came out of nowhere, and we thought it was going to hit us. And we looked at it, and I'm telling you, it looked like that car. Have you ever seen whenever people do the prank and they wrap a car in cellophane? That's how this car was held together on purpose. Like, it was like like packing tape and everything, just holding everything together. And I thought, well, I can see why you're doing that the way you drive. I'm sure your whole house is duct taped. And that's what our life feels like sometimes. We feel duct taped together. We feel broken. We feel hurt. And there's times, sometimes whenever we feel like we can put a mask on and we can pretend like everything's okay. Jesus said it like this. He was talking to a bunch of religious people one time in the Bible. And see, isn't it funny that Jesus was more often found being compassionate to the worst sinners and being really hard on all the church people? And it was because he knew he had to love the worst of the worst to bring them up, and he had to humble the religious to bring them down to level the playing field. But he was looking at the religious leaders one time. He said, you know what? Your outside looks real pretty, but the problem is you look like a tombstone. You look like a grave. You're dressed up. You got flowers. You look nice, but on the inside, you're just dead men's bones. And that's how we are sometimes, and we try and hide it from people. But on the inside, we're hurting and we're broken. But today, I want to talk to you about how God wants to change that. I want to talk to you about transition and transformation and what God wants to do in your life. The idea of transformation is hard because a lot of times we enjoy transition. We enjoy transition. In my life, I've always loved transition. I love to move. I love new houses, new cities, new opportunities. I've just always been that way. My parents growing up were pastors and missionaries, and we moved. My kids the other day were asking me about all the different cities and countries that I've lived in. And I said, well, when I was this age, I moved here. And then this year, I moved there, and I did this, and I did that. And they were just like, their eyes were like this big. They're like, Dad, oh my gosh, you never stayed in one place. And I didn't. I mean, I was always transitioning. So my life became accustomed to transition. And I moved a lot, did a lot. And so sometimes what we do is we become accustomed to transition. And whenever life gets hard around us, it's very easy for us to just say, let me just transition out of this. Right? Let me just transition out of this marriage because he's just not doing what he's supposed to be doing, or she's not loving me the way she's supposed to love me. So let me just quickly transition out of that and get somewhere else. Let me just transition out of this job because I don't really like my boss, and I don't really like my hours, and I don't really like my pay. I just want to transition away. I don't like the people around me. I just want to transition out of that. I can't wait. Have you ever said this? I can't wait to get out of my house. I can't wait to get away from my family. I can't wait to move somewhere else. I hate being stuck in this little town. If I could just go somewhere else, if I could make it to Atlanta or Chicago or Los Angeles, if I could just get somewhere else where I could be someone else. And we think that transition is a solution to everything. And that's why we never keep a job. That's why we never keep a relationship. That's why we never keep a house or a place. Because we're so used to, if things get bad, get away. Just get away. But here's what I want to propose to you today. What if God's will for your life isn't so much about where you're going, but who you're becoming? What if God's will for your life is all about what's in here, not what's going on out here? What if I told you today that if you allowed God to transform the inside of you, that the outside would not be as significant as you think it is? See, I feel like today there's a lot that God wants to do in us more than he wants to do around us. And if we will allow him, if we will choose to allow the transforming power of God to affect our lives, then I believe we become an agent of transformation for everything around us. All of a sudden, your job's not as bad. Your family's not as bad. Your husband and your wife's not as bad. I've shared this story before. There was times in my relationship with my wife, and those of you that know my wife, you know she is a wonderful, wonderful person. But there were times in our relationship that things got rough. There were times when things got rocky. And I always thought she needed to change. Have you ever felt that way about somebody else in your life? Nobody wants to admit it because you're sitting next to the person that needs to change. Be careful, men. I see Josh leaned over. Yeah, Clint and Josh are leaning over their wife saying, baby, you don't ever need to change. You're perfect. That's not what they're saying in small group prayer time. I'm just saying they're saying different stories. The fact is, most of the time, it's us that needs to change. I discovered that in my life. I realized, hey, I don't need my wife to change as much as I need to change. And when I changed, now all of a sudden it opened up different opportunities for my wife to all of a sudden be a different, what I felt like a different person. She wasn't any different, but But all of a sudden, it opened my eyes to what was going on around me. And whenever Jesus died on the cross, which is what we focus about a lot on Easter, we talk about the cross, and you know, there's been plenty of Easter services that we've shown the videos of the Passion of the Christ, and you see old bloody Jesus, and he's bleeding everywhere, and he's broken and beaten, and that is true, and that is necessary, but that's not Easter. Easter is what happened 3 days later. Easter is about the risen Lord. It's about the resurrection. It's not just about the sacrifice. The sacrifice is good, but the sacrifice is only necessary to get you to heaven. The sacrifice is necessary to wash or cover your sins. See, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is really an Old Testament thought. In the Old Testament, they killed lambs, and the lamb became the sacrifice for everybody's sin. So if you had sin, you brought a lamb to the priest would kill it, burn it, and that lamb became the sacrifice that covered your sins. You can now be forgiven. Well, that's really all Jesus was. But the difference was the lamb never got up off the altar. The lamb never rose up out of the ashes of the fire. But Jesus did. Jesus rose up. Jesus came back to life. Jesus was resurrected. We've been talking about anchor points for the last couple of weeks, and our series has been called Anchor Down, because we want to find these parts of theology, these parts of Scripture that we can base our life on, that we can tie our life to. Well, let me tell you something. One of the anchor points we must tie our life to is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason is the resurrection of Christ is important, because it's in that resurrection that we find change. It's in that resurrection that we find life. It's not just about covering my sins. It's not just about washing me. It's about giving me freedom. You know, if someone cut their arm, we've had a few cuts and bruises doing this whole thing. I mean, we've got this tin on the wall, and especially whenever you cut tin, it becomes very, very sharp. Right, Zach? It's funny, you know, you talk about blood, sweat, and tears. I don't think anybody cried when we were setting this thing up, but we had a lot of people bleeding all over it. A lot of the people that helped us would get cut by that tin, we got metal everywhere, man. This was a dangerous place. We had saws going off and incredible automatic snippers for the tin. I loved using those things. It's just so much fun to use things that are dangerous, right? But then one of the guys that was helping us, I noticed, his name is Mike Hyde. He can't be here today. He's with his family in another town. But one of the things I noticed is old Mike, he had a finger missing. Let me tell you something. Voice of the Lord, God's laughing at me apparently. I must be really funny. Oh, Mike's got that finger missing. And with that finger missing, I thought, you know what? I'm going to just stay away. He's cutting stuff. I'm going to just back up 2 steps just in case. He's already cut his own finger off. He might cut off one of mine. I better just back up. But this place was a dangerous place. And you know what? You can't just go in and patch up a cut like that. If he cuts off his finger, you can't just say, well, we'll just wash it off and then it's good to go. No. You got to heal that thing. You got to sew that thing up. You got to fix it. One of the funny stories that did happen to us was... Dave was up here. Dave is our sound guy, but he was helping us with some of the electrical, setting up the electrical on stage. We've got a guy that also out of town this morning doing some ministry somewhere else, John Tolbert. He's an electrical engineer. And John came in trying to help us track down. I mean, we had wires and lights and plug-ins and just the most random places in this building. And so John's trying to help us track all those down. And Dave is working on the electricity. So Dave cuts off the breakers. And he comes up here and he's hooking up the electricity. Well, then John walks in. You want to guess what John does? John flips the breakers on. Dave thought the power of God had come upon him in a most violent manner. Dave's on here on the back wall going, yee-ye-ye-ye-ye. He walked back to John and said, can you please turn off the breakers? It may not have happened right just like that, but it was close. That was a good story, wasn't it, Dave? Was that close enough? Dave's back there going, sure was. Why don't you turn with me to Romans chapter 8? I got to stop telling stories and tell you a couple things out of the Word that we need for this morning about transformation in our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, and I want to talk to you about how God wants to transform our lives. The Bible says this. It says, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. That's kind of our key verse for this morning, is the fact that the same Spirit, the same God that raised Jesus from the dead wants to dwell inside of you and bring life to your mortal body. I did a little bit of research, not much, just a little. And that word mortal there says this, it means this. Obviously, it means something that can die, but it literally means something that is subject to death, something that is a slave to death, something that has no choice but to die. It is bound to death. I want to propose to you today that not unlike this place with all its bumps and bruises and holes and scratches and tape, there are some areas of your life and my life that are subject to death. There are some areas of your life and my life that we've allowed to go to ruin, that we've allowed to die inside of us. Maybe it was a dream. Maybe it was a calling. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was I don't know what it was that's inside of you that God put inside of you, and we've allowed it to die. We've allowed it to become subject to death. Maybe it was someone else doing something to you. Maybe you were hurt or broken by someone else's choices. Or maybe it was your own choices, something you chose. And we've allowed parts of our life to die. Can I give you some good news today? Jesus was raised from the dead. And the Bible says this, the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead wants to work inside of you to bring life to those dead areas inside of you. Some of you may be looking at me today and just like I've looked at other preachers before and thought, man, there's just no way. There's no way I can do this. There's no way I can change this. I'm always going to struggle with this. Don't you ever get tired of always struggling with the same thing? Don't you ever get tired of always dealing with the same stuff over and over and over? At some point, we need God to give life to our mortal bodies, to those areas. And He wants to resurrect that today through transformation. So let me give you a couple of things on transformation, and then I'll stop, and we'll pray, and we'll be dismissed in just a minute. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, the first thing about transformation is transformation requires vision. Just like somebody had to come in here and have a vision for this place. Somebody had to come in here and look at these walls and say, I can see something different. I can see a stage. I can see. And it was so hard sometimes for me to come in here, and I'd bring people in, and it was just an empty room at some point. And they would say, well, tell me what you're going to do. And I'd say, well, if you could just imagine a platform seating back there and a stage up here, and imagine walls going this way and that way, and imagine tin and wood. And I always, every time I would tell people that, they would kind of look at me, and they'd look at me like this, and they'd say, I don't know. I don't understand. Can you draw it out? You know, and it's like, yeah, I can draw it out. So finally, I just made one drawing and made photocopies of it. And every time somebody asked me, I just give them the paper. I got tired of explaining it. But somebody had to have vision. Somebody had to see something that wasn't there. And whenever God looks at you, He's got a vision for your life. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. It says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Can I tell you something today? God's got a vision for your life. God's looking past all the brokenness and all the pain. And God says, I see that you got some issues, but I can see that you are made in my image. And my goal is to restore you into my image. My goal is to restore you into that right place that you were supposed to be from the very beginning. When I created Adam and Eve, I had a purpose. I had a vision, and I want to restore you to that place. See, none of us have gone so far that God can't restore us. God wants to restore you. Not only does He want to restore your image, not your looks. I would love for God to restore my looks. Amen. I'd like for some of this hair to start growing back. That'd be cool. I'll take it. You Y'all ever seen a whipping in church before? The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm about to help that boy out. But I would love for God to restore that. And the image is the likeness of God, the heart of God. And then the next thing God says is God begins to tell him to take dominion. You know, for far too long, we've allowed ourselves to be dominated by other things. You know, I don't preach a lot about smoking and drinking and drugs. I really don't. Because I really don't think that's necessary if you preach more about taking dominion than preaching about that. Because here's the thing, whenever we learn that God has called us to dominion, that we shouldn't be addicted to anything. Anything. And sometimes we look down on somebody and then we say, well, that person's addicted to cigarettes, Pastor. You know, God's not going to love that. But you're addicted to food. So what does God think about that? Pretty sure the Bible says something about gluttony too. I mean, if we want to go down that road, there's a lot of things. But the point is not what you do. The point is the heart and the addiction that we have. I know people that are addicted to TV. And they bypass family time so they can watch TV. Addicted to video games. As grown people, that's just not good. God has called us to a place of dominance and a place of overcoming, not a place of subjection and slavery. And God looks at you today and He sees all your years of slavery. He sees all those times when you've been bound up and put down. And God says, I'm calling you to a better place today. I want to transform you today. So transformation takes vision. Transformation requires work. A lot of times we want God to come in with a magic wand and wave it over us and undo in 30 minutes what we took 30 years to establish in our life. Look, I couldn't just come in here and walk around and just speak 10 to be on the walls. Someone had to cut that stuff. Someone had to get a screwdriver. Someone had to get up there and they had to work on those walls. Someone had to tear down the barn to put that wood up there. Why? Because it takes work to transform something. And it takes work for your life to be transformed. But we don't like work a lot of times. A lot of times we want easy. You know, I've been in churches before where people said, Pastor, if you just pray for me, if you'll just pray for me, I know my life will change. And what they wanted is they wanted a magic wand. They wanted a genie in a bottle. Somebody that can just wave something over them and all of a sudden their whole life is different. Can I tell you something? It's not like that. You give your life to Jesus Christ, and there are some things He will set you free from. But there are some other issues deep down inside of your heart that you're going to have to work through. You're going to have to get some help on. It takes work. It takes work to get healed up from some of this stuff. And how do we know what to do? Well, the Bible says that His Word leads us and guides us. We've been talking about anchor points and what we need to anchor down to. One of those anchor points is the Word of God. Get yourself in the Word and find out what God's saying to you. The next thing is this. The Bible says this. Transformation requires time. It requires time. Let me tell you about this. Have you ever thought about a baby? Those of you that have had kids. I was thinking about this the other day. There's a scripture that says, don't grow weary in doing good. In other words, don't grow weary. And before that, it says, sow seeds to the spirit, not seeds to the flesh. In other words, you need to focus more on making your spirit better. Focus more on transforming the inward man, not just satisfying the flesh. And then the next verse says, don't grow weary in doing good because in due season, God's going to show up, right? You're going to reap a reward. Well, as I was reading that, I started thinking about due season. I started thinking about due date. Then I started thinking about babies, right? And here's the thing about a baby is a baby has a certain amount of time inside the womb. And that certain amount of time is necessary because if the baby were to be born prematurely, now all of a sudden the baby is not at a place where it can sufficiently survive outside the womb. And it takes lots of work to keep babies alive that are born premature. But if the baby can stay in the womb the full 9 months, it has a much better chance of survival whenever it's born. Now, here's the thing. The mom, although one time I said this when I was trying to give an illustration, I was trying to talk to somebody about this thought, and I said, the mom doesn't really go through a lot of changes. And boy, this one woman who was a mom, she about let me have it. She's like, we do go through changes. You don't understand a woman's body. And I said, whoa, easy there. Easy, Godzilla. There's a transformation happening and think you're turning into the devil. No, that was Beverly. She's really nice. I do understand that the women do go through changes. So ladies, before you start throwing stuff at me, I know that. I've had a wife and a mother. Although I don't remember my mom being pregnant with me. I do remember my wife being pregnant with all three of my kids. And I know some changes do happen. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not the mom that does a lot of the changing. It's who?
You.
The baby. Not me. Guys don't do anything when the wife's pregnant. We just like sit around and be like, you're doing a great job, babe. Just keep doing that. You know, like, what do? We got the easiest job in the world. Our job is, yes, I will go get you a milkshake. That was my job when my wife was pregnant. Or yes, I will buy you Sonic Ice and you can crunch on it all day. So anyways, it's the baby that goes through changes, and it takes time for that baby. Now, that baby can look at its surroundings and say, I really don't like this place. I really don't like my circumstances. It's really cramped in here. It's really dark in here. I really don't want to be here. If I could just get out of this place, I would be doing a lot better. And we feel that way sometimes. We think, if I could just get out of here, if I could just transition out of here, I'm going to be a lot better. The problem is, if we transition too early before we've gone through transformation, then we are not ready to survive in the will of God. The Bible tells us the story about the children of Israel coming out of slavery. And it says this, the children of Israel coming out of slavery were not ready for all that God had for them. In their minds, in their hearts, they were still slaves. And God said, if I take you in there now, you'll get killed. So I'm going to leave you in the desert. I'm going to leave you in an uncomfortable situation so that you will be prepared for what I have for you. There's some of you in uncomfortable situations today, and you're ready to get out of it. And God's saying, if you'll just wait, because in due season, in due time, if you'll just wait till the due date, then I've got something better for you. But you can't be so antsy to get out and transition before you've been transformed into the image that I have for you. We've got to wait sometimes. There's two guys in the Bible, they could not wait. One of them could not wait. One of them did. The Bible tells us a story about Judas and Peter. And when Jesus was crucified, Judas and Peter had both denied Christ. Now, Judas, he turned Jesus in, but then that's all he did. Peter, on the other hand, denied him three times. And both of them were overcome with guilt, but they both did it, they both handled it in two totally different ways. The Bible says Judas went and hung himself. He just couldn't overcome the death inside of him. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait 3 days for Jesus to come back. He couldn't wait 3 days. There's some of you, you can't wait. And there's times when I can't wait the 3 days. I can't wait the time that God needs me to wait. And I start trying to take over myself. And when I do, it leads to death. It leads to destruction. Peter, on the other hand, the Bible says, went fishing. Now that may seem like not the right thing to do. Your Savior gets killed, your Messiah, you think this guy's supposed to be the man, and now he's dead, so what do? I go fishing. That's not logical, but that's what he did. And I started thinking about that. Different people have different views of that, and they say, well, he's just sloughing off the ministry. He just said, I'm quitting everything Jesus taught me, and I'm just going out to the lake to go fishing. But I don't see it that way. I see it like this. Multiple times in Scriptures, Jesus showed up when Peter was on the water. And I think Peter thought, I haven't seen him in 3 days. I'm going to the last place I saw him. I'm going to go somewhere where he shows up. If I just go get out on that water, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel like if I wait in the right place, if I put myself in a position to wait on God, then God will show up at the right time. And the story goes that Jesus shows up on the shore and calls out to the guys in the boat, says, hey, boys, what you doing? They said, we're fishing, but we hadn't caught anything. Now, this story has happened already when Peter first met Jesus. He fished all night and couldn't catch a thing. Jesus shows up and says, throw your nets on this side of the boat. Peter laughs at him, thinking, you're a carpenter. You're not a fisherman, but I'll do it. throws his nets on that side of the boat. Boom, they pull in such a great haul of fish, it almost drowns them. So they're out on the water. Some random guy on the shore says, "What you catching?" They said, "Nothing." He says, "Throw your nets on the other side of the boat." They did. Big haul of fish. Peter immediately realizes, "Oh my goodness, that's Jesus. It worked. I waited long enough. He showed up." The Bible says that Peter couldn't even wait on the boat to row to the shore. He jumped into the water and swam all the way in. Let me tell you something. If we learn to wait, if we learn to wait for the due time, learn to wait for the due time, God will show up and He will provide for us. Let me tell you the last thing is this, and then we're going to close down. Transformation requires help. We couldn't have done anything that we did in here without help. Help from you. Some of you didn't even show up, but you provided help. You gave money, or you brought food, or you prayed, or you did something to help out. We couldn't have done this without help. And like Perry said, we can't start naming names because we'll inevitably forget somebody. But, I mean, we had some folks up here. I know Larry's back in the back, hiding in the puppet stage back there. But Larry's retired. Larry was here most days. He was here every day that we worked. But most days, Larry would be here, 12, 13 hours in a day. Didn't bother Larry. We had people doing that. And the thing is, we could not have accomplished what we accomplished in a matter of weeks without help. We had help from Auburn. Our Auburn campus came up. As a matter of fact, one of those guys from Auburn and one of our guys from here built this whole stage, basically by themselves. We couldn't have done it without help. And you can't transform without help. Some of you may see in your life today some areas that need to be transformed. And you think, if I just go get a good self-help book, if I just listen to the right guy, if I just crank up some Eric Thomas on my iPod, and then I'm going to be okay. No. Motivation is good, but motivation doesn't help you transform. You need people in your life to help you transform. You need the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead to dwell in you to help you transform. Let me give you a couple of scriptures real quick. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, whenever we confess to God, He forgives our sins. But look at James 5:16. The Bible says this, therefore confess your sins to who? To God? No, to one another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. That word healed there is a term that means not just a physical healing, not just, oh, I have a cold and now I don't. No, it's an internal healing that takes place. That whenever we have an internal pain, an internal problem, when we have something that needs to be transformed because it's dead, we go to other people and they encourage us and they pray for us and we find healing for our souls. We go to God and get salvation. We get cleansing from our sins. But we go to man and we get healing for our souls. They help. The other thing is the Spirit of God dwelling in you helps you, transforms you. There's this girl named Ashley Johnson. Ashley, those of you that know me, you know I like the show Extreme Makeover Weight Loss Edition. Yes, with this guy, Chris Powell. I like Chris Powell, and he's always taking people and he helps them transform their lives, really. They think he's just coming in and helping them lose a little weight. But really, he's helping them transform their lives and transform their mindset. And there's this one girl, Ashley Johnson. She had about 200 pounds that she needed to lose. And Chris Powell comes in, and he talks to the family. And she had been so berated by her family. Her family was all, none of them needed to lose weight, but she did. And the family had berated her so much. And he comes in, and he has a heart-to-heart with the family. He says, look, nothing's going to happen if you don't change. The family didn't change. If you don't support her. Well, the first 3 months, they do it in three-month increments. The first 3 months, the family was all on board, and they encouraged her, and they had, they let her live at home, and they put all the exercise equipment in their home, and they said, we'll even use the exercise equipment, too, and just to be with her and help her. And, I mean, she dropped weight like that. I mean, it was just falling off of her. But then the story changes, and when the story changes, the family gets tired. They get tired and probably a little jealous because she's getting all this attention. And so they start kind of cutting her down again. They start putting her down, and they start complaining about all the exercise equipment, and they complain about the power, and they complain about, well, we got to eat special food because of you, and they start complaining. And guess what? Weight loss stopped. Matter of fact, she started gaining a little bit. Why? Because it is essential. If we want to transform, we must have people around us that will help us and encourage us and pull us along sometimes, push us along sometimes, but we've got to have people. And sometimes we isolate ourselves so much when it comes to our problems. When it comes to our internal pain, sure, on the outside, we like to have fun with people. We like to hang out. We like to go out and do stuff. But whenever it comes down to something internal, we try and hold on to that, and I can deal with this myself. I went through an issue not too long ago. I shared this with our church. For those of you that are church folks, you've heard me share this a couple weeks ago. But for you new folks, I went through an issue not too long ago where I was going through internal pain. And I could get up on Sunday morning and I could put a smile on my face and I could tell a couple jokes and I could preach the word. But whenever service was over, I just wanted to go crawl in a bed and cover myself up. When service was over, I didn't want to see anybody. I wanted to get out of there. And I was hurting and I was struggling. I didn't know what to do with that. And I just thought, well, I'll just deal with it because I'm the pastor. And pastors can't have problems, right? Because we're not human, and so we can't have problems. And I finally realized I can't deal with this on my own. And that's why I've got a circle of people in this church that I trust, my circle of friends, or my circle of, what is it, circle of trust. And I brought these people into my house, and I just poured out my heart to them. And I said, I never told anybody what I'm about to tell you, but this is what's going on inside of me. This is what's going on with my family and my life. And this is our area of pain. These are the areas that have holes that we've just duct taped over and painted over so everybody thinks we're okay. But really, on the inside, we're hurting really bad. And I gathered those people together and they laid hands on me. They prayed with me. But they didn't just pray with me and say, okay, now you're better. No, no, no. They stuck with me. And every day they would encourage me and they would email me and they would call me and they would text me. And when I saw them on Sunday mornings, they would talk to me and pray with me until the point where they felt like I was transforming on the inside and getting healing on the inside. There's some of you, you're hurting so bad. You're hurting so bad, and there's nobody for you to talk to because you've been so fake for so long. You've held it together with duct tape for so long, and God's saying, please, please just pull off the duct tape. Let me fix you. Let me transform you today. Let me surround you with a group of people that can help you today and walk this thing out with you today. The last thing that it says the help comes from the Spirit of God. Spirit of God. There's one way to get the Spirit of God, and that's to accept it. You don't earn it. You don't go out of here today and start saying, well, I'll just start doing better, and then God will like me. No, God loves you right now where you are. He doesn't care what you look like, what you act like. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care what you've planned to do. He says, I love you just like you are this morning, right now. See, that's what the cross is about. The cross is about, the Bible says that while we were still sinners, while we were still dying in our sin, while we were still drunks, while we were still hooked to pornography, while we were still cheating on our spouse, while we were still doing all these things that we should not have been doing, Jesus loved us and gave himself for us. He took every bit of the pain and the shame that we deserve because he loves you just how you are. But the resurrection says, although I love you just how you are and I accept you just how you are, I don't want you to stay just how you are. I want to help you to transform. And I'm here for you. The same power, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is here today. And he wants to live inside of you. He wants to occupy the old beat up box of your life. And he wants to begin to transform you from the inside out today. Why don't you close your eyes with me this morning?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.